Would you turn with me in your book, in your Bible, to the book of Revelation? Revelation chapter 21. I'd like to say a few things tonight about verse 6, but I'd like to read verses 1 through 6. Revelation 21, verse 1. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and we will dwell with them, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. We'd like to spend a little time on that. It's interesting that the majority of this chapter is spent on describing that holy city that comes down out of heaven, New Jerusalem. There's much in this chapter from this point on that deals with that. And like most of what we find in the book of Revelation, it looks at the city from a spiritual standpoint. And if we look at it from the literal words, we're going to have a problem. I'm planning this Sunday to have a bulletin. I got a pattern made, got a new program on my computer that I can use, and I have it printed. The first time I printed it, halfway through, my ink cartridge ran out, and so I had to get another ink cartridge. And there's an article that I put in there that was written by a pastor down in Texas, and he uses a passage of scripture that says there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Now, I find Brother Lance Heller and I are very close together on this verse of scripture, and I can't find anybody else. Everybody else is wrong. That's just all there is to it. That baptism in that passage of scripture has to also be interpreted spiritually. That's not water baptism. Everything else in that passage of scripture is spiritual. And spiritual baptism is identical to the new birth or a new heart or being in Christ. And that's what that passage... So he wrote it was water baptism, and you'll forgive me, I edited that out. I just have to look at this, that passage is spiritual as much as I have to look at this as spiritual. These are spiritual descriptions of heavenly things. And as we look here in this verse of scripture tonight, verse 6, it says, And he said unto me, It is done. Now, that isn't the same word as it is finished. But there are some similar thoughts about it. When Christ said that from the cross, he covered all of the Old Testament sacrifices, it's finished. He covered all of the Old Testament priests, it's finished. He covered all the Old Testament prophecies, it's finished. Covered all the Old Testament law, it's finished. And here we have this word that covers what we know is done now. It's done. And he shares with us in this, I am. And here's the signature. I am Alpha and Omega. Now those are, you know this, I'm just going to repeat something. These are the first and the last letter of the Greek alphabet. Alpha is first, it's their A. Omega is their last word letter, that's our Z. They don't have quite as many letters in their alphabet as we do, and Alpha and Omega. Now we find that the Lord Jesus Christ is called the Word in John chapter 1. Not only is He the Word, but He is the very letters that make up the Word, and He is the beginning and the end. He is the first and the last. He is the very first letter, and He is the last letter. He is going to have the last word on everything. In fact, He had the first word on everything. He had the first word and the last word on everything. Every decree, He has the first word and the last word. Every passage of Scripture, He is the first word and the last word. And when it comes to everything that's spiritual, He has the first word and the last word on everything. And the church says, thank God. That's our comment on this. Thank God. He has the perspective that we do not have. He has the authority that we do not have. He has the power that we do not have. So He's all-powerful. He has a perfect perspective. He has determined all things. And now He said, I'm Alpha and Omega. I have all knowledge and everything. I have the first and the last word on everything. And as a result of that, He has given us everything. There's nothing left out of what He gives to His church. Everything spiritual, every spiritual blessing is in Christ. Now, let's look at here, just particularly a little bit in the book of Revelation. It's been some time since we've been here, so let's just go back and look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8. Let's look at this verse of Scripture as we started. We notice this verse of Scripture that shares with us about God. In August of 2007, or maybe September of 2007, we were at this passage of Scripture. Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, it says, I am Alpha and Omega. There's no greater way to look at the book of Revelation. He said in verse 1, I am, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. He goes on to explain a little bit about that. I am Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. I am the God, the Lord God Almighty, the God of glory. I am before all things, and after me there's nothing. It's hard for us to comprehend this kind of total eternity. But I'm the beginning and the ending. I'm the first and the last. I'm Alpha and Omega. And then in that same chapter, in verse 11, it says here, verse 10, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Now, that trumpet spoke in words that he could understand, but it did get his attention. It was these words, as they've been translated. I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and unto Thyatira, and unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. But still, I am Alpha and Omega. Everything I have to say to them, I have the first message, I have the last of the message. There's nothing going to be said outside of this. And that's what is so important to remember when we're looking at the Scripture. If the Scripture is silent, it means we're silent. And if the Scripture has something to say, we should have something to say about it. He is the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the ending. And then again, in verse 17 and 18 of this first chapter, it says here, verse 17, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not. Now why should there be no fear? I am the first and the last. I have everything under my throne. there's nothing takes place that I have not purposed. I kind of enjoyed that hymn tonight. He leadeth me. The person who wrote that had some insight. He used Psalm 23 as kind of his jumping off point, but he leadeth me. What a wonderful thing. And the reason he can do that is he is the beginning and the ending. He is the author and finisher of our faith. If we have faith, it's because of him. And he's the only one that can complete it to the end. All right, going on, there says, fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. So this is the sure victor expressing his word about himself and about his purpose. I claim I have the keys. It's mine. I'm Alpha and Omega. I'm the beginning and the ending. And then in Revelation 22, now we haven't quite got there, but in Revelation 22 and verse 13, we have the conclusion of this book. All the steps throughout, if we remember, it's the revelation of Jesus Christ. And as John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. The Lord blessed me in permitting me to meditate about my Savior. That's what that means. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. The Lord blessed me in permitting me to think about my Savior, to ruminate on him. And when he was in that state of worship, it says the Lord appeared to him, says, fear not, I'm the beginning and the ending. And he wrote to the seven churches of Asia, and he wrote the rest of this as God inspired him, led him. And look, notice here, close to the end of this book, it says in Revelation 22 and verse 13, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Three ways of saying the same thing. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Listen to me, number one. Listen to me, number two. And pay attention, number three. I am this. And he truly is. To his people, he has been this from eternity. He is the only reason that we have faith. He began it. Every headwater of every stream of mercy proceeds from God. It never proceeds from us and goes to God. It always proceeds from God to us. Every stream of mercy, every bit of grace, everything proceeds from God to us. He is the first cause for all things. When it comes to creation, he's the first cause of all things. I heard one time that there was several parents that were upset with a school in Hood River because they used the word evolution. Now that shouldn't bother us. Now if it's a theory of evolution, then we should have a little difficulty with it. But change, evolution means change. And there's been a lot of change in our world, but it's been prescribed by God. There's been a lot of change. I really like porkers now. I like that other white meat. How come we have it? Because God has permitted change. And we used to have a dachshund. That's because of change. All those critters. There's been a lot of change. And every time it rains, it runs some dirt off the hills down into the river, and it goes out to sea and is deposited there, and that's change. We're going to see change. But he is the first cause of all things. Now, that's the difference between an evolutionist and someone that sees God. He's going to produce change. He has. He always will. This world is not like it was when it was created, and it will be changing all through our life. Mount St. Helens is a good example. Big change. If Mount Hood blew its top, big change. That's just the way it is. God has prescribed it that way. I'm Alpha and Omega. When it comes to spiritual things, when it comes to spiritual life, when it comes to the new birth, he is the first cause of all things. He is the only one that can do that miracle. And truly, a Christian is a miracle. It's an act of God and an act of grace. All right. Now, in that passage of Scripture that we read in Revelation chapter 21, verse 6, it says, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give. Now, I like that. God's saying, the Lord's saying, I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. Now, that's not if we choose it. I will give. Now, that word thirst in there is to suffer thirst. I have been thirsty, but I have never been in a position where I suffered from thirst. I suppose some people that have been in the military, some people that have got lost, they could have suffered from thirst. I've been thirsty, but I've never suffered from thirst. This word means to suffer from thirst or suffering from thirst. And this doesn't mean suffering from thirst or to suffer from thirst from a physical water. It's not a drink that we're talking about, a drink of water. I've never suffered thirst for a drink of water in the extent this is talking about. But this is spiritual thirsting. Now we need to remember who this book is written to, who wrote it, and what it's about. To suffer thirst, those are said to thirst who painfully feel their want and eagerly long for those things by which the soul is refreshed. It is something God creates in us. He's the first cause of all things. He's the only one. Now, it's interesting that salt will make us thirsty. Have you ever eaten pork, a ham, and before you know it, you got to have a drink of water? There's a lot of salt in it. God is the first cause, and He will put spiritual salt in our diet and cause us to thirst. He will make us thirsty. We'll never be thirsty on our own. I was just thinking this afternoon, in Isaiah 53, it says about the Lord, our view. This is commentary, God's commentary on us about God. There is no form nor comeliness that we should desire Him. Now that's the comment God makes about us naturally. There's nothing about God. In fact, in Romans it tells us we have enmity against God. That is hatred. Hatred. It's not at enmity. It is a part of us. Enmity. It's hatred for God. Now it's really hard for people to admit that they hate God, because everybody loves Jesus. It is only by the grace of God that we can admit that by nature we actually hated God. And we demonstrated it. If we love God, we're going to be doing or accepting what He does. If we hate God, then we're going to be expecting our righteousness to acquire something. That's just the way it is. We want our righteousness to do something. We want our works to do something. And that's hating God, because He said our works are not any value. And we want to change God's word. And when we're changing God's word and saying we don't agree with it and we don't believe it, we're really saying, I hate God. It's the natural extent of the fall. Well, it tells us in the book of the Song of Solomon, that bride was describing the Lord Jesus. I like what she had to say. She enumerated several things that she really liked about her Savior, about the Lord. But she got down and said, and if I have missed anything, He is altogether lovely. There's nothing that is not lovely about the Lord. Now that's the church's view. That's the redeemed view. Before that, there's nothing about Him that is lovely. Oh, even when He healed, He did it on the Sabbath day. We hear the Pharisees saying that. And we have some of the same attitude about it. Well, He didn't heal the right people. Or He only healed one. At the Pool of Siloam, He only went down and healed one. That's not fair. And we got this attitude. by nature, by the fall, that God's unfair with his healing. And after we're saved, we say, thank God he healed one. Thank God he healed all of these that were brought to him. Thank God he gives to those who are athirst freely. By nature, we don't thirst. We don't hunger and thirst after righteousness. Not God's righteousness. We hunger and thirst after our righteousness, and we'll do anything possible. I would hate to admit some of the things I did to gain righteousness. And we look at people and say, man, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. Look at what they're doing. They're trying to get righteousness. And every man, woman, boy, and girl's in the same boat. It's they hate God. They don't want his word. They don't want his work. They want it on their own. And then we hear by revelation, he is the beginning and the end. He is the author and finisher. He is the Alpha and Omega. He is the first cause of all things. And he's the first cause of our salvation, our faith, our righteousness, our holiness, our sanctification, our consecration, our life, our walk. He's the first cause of all things. Everything is because of him. Now, let's look here in, let's go back again to the book of Revelation. Chapter 7. We looked at this some time ago. Revelation chapter 7, verse 17. Revelation chapter 7, verse 17. For the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water. Now we'll not find it unless he leads us. He leadeth me, O blessed thought, heavenly comfort fraught. He leads, he shall feed them and lead them unto the living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. He shall lead them to the fountains of waters. What a blessed thought. God does that in a miraculous way. And we've said before, he either moves us so we can hear the gospel, he moves a preacher so we can hear the gospel, or the other day we thought, someone brought up, or he moves both so that they meet at the right place. But he's going to do it. He's going to lead his people to hear the gospel, which is the living water. So they'll hear that. All right, and in Revelation 22, would you turn there with me? Again, find this throughout the book of Revelation. We find it throughout the Bible. The very things that God does, the blessings he provides. He's the first and the last. He's the Alpha and Omega. He is the author and finisher. Many ways the Holy Spirit left for us to comprehend. Well, not to comprehend, to ruminate on. Comprehending it has to be by revelation. We can see the shadow, but by his grace we see the words. All right? Revelation 22, and again, verse 17. Revelation 22, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. Now, everyone that's heard has the privilege of saying, it's not me, as John did. It's not me, it's him. That's all we have. He that heareth, say, come. There he is. There he is. John said, I'm not he. I'm not he. I'm not worthy to unlatch his shoes. There he is. Behold, the Lamb of God. So all we can do is be pointers. Pointers. We have nothing in ourselves. All we have is pointing. It says right there, come and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come. God's going to create that thirst. He invites us to come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Matthew there 5:11. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely. Much ado has been made about that whosoever will. But why, that's just so clear. He's got to make us willing. He made us willing in the day of his power. Turn me and I shall be turned. So this is God's activity. By nature, we're not willing. By grace, we're made willing. By nature, we won't come to God. By grace, we are coming to God. It's a daily activity, coming to God. And then turn with me over to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah chapter 12. Isaiah 12, 1, 2, and 3. Well, you'd almost read that entire chapter, all six verses. Isaiah 12, verse 1. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee, though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Every time we go to the Word, we're drawing water out of the wells of salvation. Every time we hear the gospel, we're drawing water out of the wells of salvation. What a pleasant task. My dad used to have he had about an acre and a half, I think, or 2 acres of garden. And before the sprinkler systems came in, it was all flood irrigation. We put the ditches in, and then he turned the pumps on, and it run that water down. My mother said we never had gardens like then. We started sprinkling, and we never got the gardens that we used to get. How precious that water is to the roots of those vines, to those vegetables, and how precious this water is to God's people. The water of the Word, how precious. And then again in Isaiah 55, let's look in Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, he'll give those that are thirst a thirst. And there's only one means of salt. That's the gospel. Only one means of comfort. That's the gospel. We don't have a special salting process. It's just the gospel. Gospel blesses the believers. Gospel leads the lost to Christ. It's the gospel. Doesn't change. We just rejoice in it. Isaiah 55. Verse 1, Isaiah 55, Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come, buy milk, or wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do ye spend money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which satisfieth not? Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight itself in fatness. Incline your ear and come unto me here, and your soul shall live. And I'll make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. What a wonderful thing it is that God acquaints us with His covenant. To find out it's all been taken care of. That from beginning to end, He has taken care of all our needs. We were lost and going astray, and yet He had already provided a highway for His people. We are sinners. He's already provided a sacrifice. We have no righteousness. He's already provided the righteousness. We have no sanctification. He's already provided the sanctification. Everything that we needed, He provides in Christ. And we waste our time. And I hate to say this, but it's just a natural thing. Wasting our time on these things that do not satisfy. He spoke of Israel. Says, you put water in cisterns who will not hold water. And you will not come to the living water. Just natural. People are religious. They'll go to the cistern. I don't know if you've ever looked into a cistern or not. Sometimes it's not a good idea. Sometimes there's green things growing around the edge. Mice, bugs, all this stuff. And this living water, this fountain of living water is fresh. Nothing gets in it because it's always flowing out, pushing out everything. That's just Christ. He flows purely. He flows graciously. John 4, verse 10. He must needs go by Samaria. What a great account. What a great message is left here for us. Woman at the well, Jacob's well. Just happens to be at the right place at the right time. Providence. He must needs go through Samaria, it says. And while he's there, verse 10 of John chapter 4, it says, Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it was that saith unto thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Does she know? Not yet. She doesn't know yet. If thou knewest. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou this living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob? Which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I give unto him, he shall never thirst. But the water that I give unto him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. There's never any need to look for something else. The apostle put it this way, Be not turned by every wind of doctrine. This settles us. That lodestone, that compass gets settled down. We don't doubt the compass anymore. It's settled. I've been hunting, and that compass was just as wrong as rain until someone found me and said, You're going the wrong direction. We doubt the compass. We don't go by the compass. And yet, once the Lord opens our heart and we're permitted to see Him, we don't doubt the compass anymore. This is just as clear. And then there in verse 15, the woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come here to draw. I won't have to be embarrassed and have to come down here at this improper time of day, so I won't be bothered by other people. She's still looking at everything through the eyes of flesh. I need this water that you're talking about, so I don't have to come down here. Well, it's not going to be very long, and the Lord's going to open her heart, as He did Lydia's heart, and she's going to see who He is. And she's going to tell people, Come, see one that told me everything, all things ever I did. Come. All right. Let's turn over to the psalm again, and with this we'll close. Psalm 36. Psalm 36. He gives the fountain of life. He allows us to drink freely. No restrictions. Drink all you want. Psalm 36, verse 6. He says, Thy righteousness is like the great mountains. Thy judgments are a great deep, O Lord. Thou preservest man and beast. How excellent is thy loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of thy wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasures. Thou shalt make them drink. He's the first cause of all things. Thou shalt make him drink. Well, this is one time he can lead his people to water and make them drink. He makes them drink. And so as it said there, I'm Alpha and Omega. I have all these provisions. I'm the beginning and the end. I am the first cause of all things. And anyone that's thirsty, come drink. Come drink. Come drink of the water of life freely. Without reservation. No, there's no... What was it during the war? They had those coupons. What was it?
Ration.
Yeah, there's no rations on this. You don't have to have a coupon to come down here. There's no rations on this living water. All right, let's stop there.